Mark chapter 8 and verse number 34. Now, as we read this, this should remind you of the song they just sung. They had no idea what I was preaching. I had no idea what they were singing, but it went great. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. That's denying our flesh. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. All right. You know, I told you about that electrician testing that preacher. And friend, listen, the more preachers live hypocritically, the more Christians live hypocritically. I mean, we are hurting the gospel, and we have folks around us that need to see what it means to be a real man of God, what it means to be a real Christian. And so the Bible goes on to say, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? By the way, of course, my soul is my soul. I have to make that choice. Am I going to be saved or not saved? But I've also heard it put this way. There are only two things you can take, you're going to take out into eternity with you. One is yourself, one is your child. And so your own soul. We can put our kids on a path of destruction. We can put our kids on a path of denying Jesus in their life, winding up in hell one day, or as many in here, if not all, have put our kids on a path of you know, knowing the Lord and accepting Christ in their life and being raised up the Bible way. So what will it profit if I gain everything, but my child grows up, goes to hell, my grandkids grow up, go to hell, don't know anything about God, nothing about church, but boy, I gain the world and all those worldly friends? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, and notice this, this is really not even the message, but reading through there again this morning, it just struck me. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words. All right, so we're living in this day and age. Don't judge. But the Bible says what the Bible says. Okay, so if you're ashamed of that, so you're falling in with the crowd that just says, well, I just want to be a part of some church that doesn't judge, and you can just do whatever you want, when you want, how you want. You're denying the Word of God, and you're just ashamed that the Bible teaches holy living and separation and one man, one woman as a marriage and all that kind of stuff. So God says, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of my words and this adulterous and sinful generation. If you'll be that way, if you'll be ashamed of him, also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. All right, so I want to preach this morning, and all you that were in the breakfast club at 10 a.m., stay awake now, all right? Pinch each other if you have to. I saw all that food, so you've eaten it all. Stay awake. I want to preach this morning on what we can and cannot lose. What we can, cannot lose. Be doctrinal, and then it'd be some challenging, I hope, from the Scripture. Let's pray. God, would you bless today your word as it's preached? I pray that we'll learn Bible truth, and I pray that we'll see what we may be losing as Christians. And Lord, I pray that we do what it takes to keep those things that we could lose. Bless our children's churches going on this morning. Lord, I pray for a great work in there. And Lord, would you work in our midst? And we'll thank you for what you'll do. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, you're in church, so you have to be honest. How many of you in here would be honest this morning and say that you are bad about losing things? Just go ahead and raise your hand before your spouse has to raise your hand for you, okay? All right? You could put your hands down there, right? I do not like to lose things. When I walk in my house, my keys go in the same spot, and my wallet goes in the same spot, and my pen and my Bible is either on my desk or it's sitting on my nightstand beside my bed, because in the morning I'm groggy. It's not just a cup of coffee. It's got to be like noon before mentally I wake up. And so when I get up in the morning, I'm not thinking straight. So my medicine has to be in the right place. My keys have to, I'm not super organized, but I am a little bit organized. But my stuff has to be in the same spot. I don't understand those that constantly lose the same stuff over and over again. What I lose the most is tools and bits, you guys that are in here. I lose bits. Like, man, I know I had some Phillips bits in here. I just bought a new package of Phillips bits, and I keep telling myself, I'm going to get in my tool storage building, and I'm going to clean it out, and then I walk in there and say, man, it's too cold. I'm going to do it when it warms up. And then I get in there and go, man, it's too hot in here now. I'm going to do it when the fall comes. But I do lose that stuff. But the basics every day, I don't lose. Now, in our text, Jesus says that there are some things that we can lose. In verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, there are those in this life that they want to live it up. They want nothing to do with church. I passed the crowd this morning. Their boats are hooked up. They're headed out to the lake. Not a thought about God or going to church or living for the Lord. They want to live their way by their rules without the boundaries of answering to God or obeying His word. Now, the Bible tells us that those people, they may gain the whole world over their 60 or 70 or 80 plus years of life, but if they die without Christ, they will lose their soul to hell for all eternity. Turn to Luke chapter 16 with me, if you would. It's a familiar passage, and I trust that everyone in here is saved, born again this morning. And again, if not, get it right. Get born again, get saved, get the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, and start doing things God's way. But there are a lot of people in this world today that are living like they don't need God. Like, it does not matter what the Bible says. We're going to do marriage our way. We're going to do money our way. We're going to do life our way. But friend, every person that has ever lived on the face of this earth is going to have a face-to-face meeting with God one day, according to the Bible. Now, in Luke chapter 16, there was a rich man that went to hell. He did not go to hell because he was rich. Neither did the poor man go to heaven because he was poor. The rich man went to hell because he trusted in his riches and he lived by his own rules and he did things his way. And basically, in his lifetime here on earth, he lived with a mindset, I don't need God. I don't need the Bible. I don't need church. I don't need a preacher yelling at me. I don't need all of that stuff, whether he used people as an excuse or maybe some fallen preacher as an excuse or maybe none of that. But I tell you what, he lived life like he did not need God until he gained the whole world and one day died and lost his soul to hell. And now all of a sudden he needed God, but it was too late. Look at it there in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19. There was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. Now, we know this is not a parable. This is not, God's not illustrating something. We know this is a true story because in parables, Jesus never used a real name. And so Lazarus, of course, is the poor man that wound up in heaven because he trusted Christ as a Savior. But the entire story here is about two men, and unnamed man, which, by the way, when you go to hell, you have no name. The Bible says I believe it's the memory of the unjust shall rot. I mean, it's like that's the only way we could be in heaven and have loved ones in hell, but be no tears in heaven, is the memory of you would have to be taken from our mind forever. Now, that's a sad thing to just be forgotten. But the Bible says there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That was a picture of what is today heaven. Today, the presence of the Lord. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. I still believe there is a hell because the Bible still teaches there is a hell. There is a lake of fire. Just as much as I still believe if you're born a man, you're a man. If you're born a woman, you're a woman. And if you're ever going to get married, you're supposed to get married to a member of the opposite sex. Why? Because that is the way God set it up. So this fella died without Christ. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hell is not just absence of God and good. Hell is a place of torment forever and ever. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. What he's basically saying to him there is, remember, you didn't need God. You had everything you wanted. You didn't need God. But this man realized he did need God. He needed a Savior. He got born again. Now he's in heaven. He's comforted and you're tormented and your money couldn't get you out of hell. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So there's no leaving where you are for eternity once you're there. Then he said, I pray thee, the rich man. He didn't say what the mindset is today. Well, I'll just wait for my buddies to get to hell. We're going to have a big old party. That's not the case. He said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. What did he say? Go knock on my family's door. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What he was saying was, Moses and the prophets, the book of Moses, first five books of the Bible, the prophetical books. He said, they have the Old Testament. If they will not obey and listen to what the Old Testament says about Jesus, it's not going to matter if we send a dead person. All right, so he says, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. They have the word of God. And he, the lost man in hell, said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This is what Jesus said about the books of Moses in John 5 and verse 46. He said, for had you believed Moses, had you believed the books of Moses, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. All right, so Abraham said, and for us here, we could have a big old friend day and we could have 200 people here and serve a lunch. And I could get up and say, listen, you've got to be here. We could send out a postcard and say, be here. We're going to bring somebody back from the dead. And they're going to get up and tell you how hot hell is or how wonderful heaven is. And what God said in his word there is, if they will not believe the simple preaching of the word of God, they would think we were faking it by putting someone out of eternity up here on this platform. So what did God tell? It just came to mind, but what did the Lord tell Thomas when Thomas said, you know, except I see his hands and his scars, I will not believe. And then he got to see the Lord, right? And the Lord said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. And that's wonderful, just to take God at his word and believe his word. And Christian, in this day and age, it's, I believe, honestly, I believe in 23 years of pastoring, I think we're going beyond the Laodicean age now. I think we're beyond that. I think we're right at the doorstep of eternity. I believe there's a great falling away happening in Christianity today. And friend, Jesus is coming back soon. It's good to just take God at his word. Keep on believing the same thing you believed for years in your life. Now, we have a choice. In this life, we can gain it all. And I know probably not speaking to anybody here this morning on this part. We're talking about being saved. But friend, listen, you can sit in church for years and years and years and never truly have been born again. You must be born again. But in this life, we can gain it all. We can ignore the gospel. And by the way, I don't know why half the world's crowd would ever want to darken church the way Christians act online. Why would they want to get out of bed and go serve a God that seems to be dead by the way we act or about the way he's handling our problems in our life? But we can gain it all. We can ignore the gospel and we can lose Christ. We can gain the world but lose our soul for eternity. Or we can deny ourselves, accept the gospel like most in here have, lose the world, the cross before me, the world behind me, and we can win Christ for eternity. Paul was a rich, wretched man. He was an angry man. Paul was the type of man that would arrest us for being in church today until he got born again. And the gospel changes people. And he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He said, I don't have those old friends anymore, but that's fine. I don't have those old ways of life anymore, but that's fine. He said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. He says, that I may win Christ and be found in him, being saved, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Look back at our text there. The Bible says in verse 34 in Mark chapter 8, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. No one ever said the Christian life was going to be easy. And he said, and follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Verse 38, for whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I don't want to stand ashamed before Christ at his appearing. I certainly don't want him to be ashamed of me. I want to pastor physically and mentally and as long as God wants me to. But I have an end in mind. But friend, listen, even one day when I'm done pastoring, I want to be a faithful church member and faithful to serve and faithful to knock doors and faithful to fix stuff and be a help and a blessing to my pastor. But I don't want to quit on God. I don't want to quit on my family. I don't want to quit on my church and on my pastor. I don't want to lose some things that I've gained over the years. For those that have received Christ as their Savior, I want to remind us today of what we can and cannot lose. First, I want to cover what we cannot lose. And really, I want to give you one thought here, and then we'll move. But it's going to take a little while because it's Bible doctrine, and I want to cover it. And I want to make sure everybody in here believes the Bible. Let me say this. Young people, adults, we cannot lose our salvation. We cannot lose our salvation. Now, some people believe and teach that once you're saved, that you can lose your salvation. According to the Bible, this is false doctrine. Those that believe that are saying that they believe in a works salvation. I'm not trying to be offensive because there are those who have just been taught this, but they're saying that they believe in a works salvation. Listen, whether they realize it or not, I did not do anything to get me saved. I cannot do anything to get me unsaved. It was never my goodness. It was never my works. Salvation is not by works. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. And I love the fact that God knew a bunch of independent Baptists will be on this earth one day, and he made this statement, lest any man should boast. Well, I'm more saved than you are because I was at the spring cleaning last week. Well, I'm more saved than you because you should have seen how much I gave to missions. Well, I'm more saved than you. We did nothing to get ourselves saved. We can do nothing to get ourselves unsaved. Those that believe that you can lose your salvation, they can never give you an exact list of what causes you to lose it. You know why? Because it doesn't exist. I've had conversations with people that believe you can lose your salvation. And I said something like this, all right, so if you murder somebody, you can lose salvation. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you shouldn't murder people, right? Okay, so, if you go rob a bank, you can lose your salvation. Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, okay, well, what about if I'm on a two-story building and I fall off and on the way down, I accidentally say a cuss word. Am I going to hell? No. Now, wait a minute, who is judge and jury here? By the way, it's a sin to cuss. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. All right, but so There is no list. We do well just to stick with the Bible. All right? No, you can do this, but you can't get to that level, and you can't. And you know, there's just a group that's gotten out of church. Well, how long? Is it 3 weeks before you lose your salvation? Is it the first week you're out of church? Is it the six-month mark that you're out of church? Those lists don't exist because you cannot lose your salvation. The Bible says in Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? What meaning basically this, no matter what you're going through, God hasn't stopped loving you. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughters. Nay, in all these things, right smack dab in the middle of whatever you're going through. We Christians live too defeated these days. The foolish man utters, all is mine. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And here it is, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, we're talking about powerful beings now, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, I'm a creature, I was created by God, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All right, so we didn't work to get ourselves. Salvation. We cannot do a work that causes us to lose our salvation. There is no list anywhere. And the crowd that would say, well, you could lose it. You know, there are certain things. I mean, you fall away, you lose it. They can't show you a list. Salvation is based on our faith in the saving power of Jesus Christ. It's trusting in the completed work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I will say this. Just because we have eternal security doesn't give us a license to go out and live in sin. We're not all going to have the same standards. We're not always going to have the same philosophy. But guess what? We all have the same Holy Spirit. And we have the same Bible. The Bible says you need not that any man teach you. Why? Because the Spirit of God is going to tell us when we're in a wrong place or when we're about to do something we should not do. So eternal security is not a license to go out and live like the devil. But there is no work. There is no sin that could... Think about this. It's common sense. No work, no sin could ever cause you. What is salvation? It's belief. It's believing in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. No work, no sin could ever cause you or I to unbelieve what we believed at the moment of salvation unless we never really believed it in the first place. Paul addressed that. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news of Christ, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, were you just praying some prayer? Were you just going to the altar because your buddy did? Were you just trying to get right about something so your spouse wouldn't be mad at you, or so your parents wouldn't be mad at you? Or did you really realize I'm on my way to hell and I need to be born again? But friend, listen, I remember the day the Lord saved me and I didn't do anything. I just trusted Christ as my Savior, asked him to forgive me my sins and save my soul. I did what the Bible said to do. Now, the biblical facts are this. At the moment of salvation, our name was forever engraved in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't have time to give you all of these verses if you want to write them down if you're taking notes, but our name was forever engraved in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 20 and verse number 15. There are some places in the Bible that seems like that the way it teaches is everyone ever born is written in that book, and if you don't trust Christ, your name gets removed from that book. There are places it looks like maybe the names aren't there and then the name is added. I don't know which one it is. I know this, by the time you die, your name better be in that book, and it better be there in permanent pen, and it happens because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. The moment of salvation, our name was forever engraved in the Lamb's Book of Life. The moment of salvation, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Go read Ephesians chapter 1. I'm not even going to give you the verses because you need to read more of your Bible anyway. So we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. You know, Ephesians 1 says that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. What that means is it's like earnest money. I'll come buy your car from you. I'll give you $1,000 down. And if I don't follow through, you can keep that. But that's a promise. I'm coming back to buy that car. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. He was the earnest money. He was God saying, I promise you, you'll never lose your salvation. I'll come back for you one day. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 1. The day we got born again, we were adopted into God's family, Romans chapter number 8. I remember being at several different courthouses with families who adopted children, and they became as much a part of that family as the blood sons and daughters did. We were adopted into God's family. Not only that, but the moment we were saved, the Bible says we were placed into God's powerful hand. John chapter 10, no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. We were placed in God's powerful hand. We were immediately pardoned forever. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's not a hope so. It's not a we'll wait and see. It's not see if we get through the pearly gates. It is in this life, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and pardon was stamped on my sin forevermore. We were born, according to the Bible, we were born into the family of God. John chapter 1, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John chapter 3, you must be born again. All right, so the moment I trusted Christ, I was born of God, I was born again, and once you've been born, you can never again be not born. My son is my son. He carries my family name. He'll always carry my family name. No matter what he does in life or where he goes, he will always take my name with him, and he will always be my son. Friend, when you leave this church house this morning, you're going to take the name of Jesus with you. You're going to be a child of God, but we ought to have respect for our Heavenly Father's name. And my son having my name and having that name for the rest of his life, he can never lose that. And you and I got born into the family of God, and we can never lose that name, Christian, that name, child of God. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. They don't understand why we live the way we live. They don't understand why we do the things we do, but that's okay. The Bible told us that was going to happen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As born again believers, we can never lose our sonship. Praise the Lord for that. But there are some things that we can lose, both in this life and in heaven. Now, while we cannot lose our salvation due to sin, and by the way, I should throw this out there. The Bible says in Galatians 5 at the end, it says, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Thank God he forgives us. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Thank God that you know, we brought just a lifetime of sin to the Lord. In the moment of salvation, he saved us, wiped all that sin away, removed it as far as the east is from the west, cast our sin into the depths of the sea. But just like my son, just like my daughter, if our relationship's not right, they need to come get right with me in order to have that fellowship that we once had. So with the Lord, the Bible says in Romans 5, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. He's a merciful God. He's a long-suffering God. He's a forgiving God. But then it goes into, not Galatians, but Romans. I messed the scripture up there. Romans chapter 5, not Galatians, but Romans 5. It says, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. But in Romans 6 and verse number 1, it says, what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! God forbid. I don't have to have the cussing and the drinking and the piercings and all the craziness to enjoy. Man, I love my life, and I don't have to go out in the world to enjoy it. So Christians, don't use grace as a license to go out and trample underfoot the Son of God. Now, while we cannot lose our salvation due to sin, sin would be the reason or the root cause for losing these four things as a Christian. Let me give them to you quickly. Number one is this. We can lose the joy of being saved. We can lose the joy. Thank God we could never be saved. But I don't know what's worse. The drunk out there, the drug addict, whose life is just miserable. I've seen those videos, those pictures. Have you seen them? The people up in Philadelphia, those zombies. I mean, they're so infected by drugs. They do this. They just hang out on the street corner. And isn't it amazing? While the world's going to hell, we got Christians playing games and going back to the world rather than finding a place of ministry where we could reach people like that and reach people all over the place. But man, they're just zombies. And friend, that's where the world will leave you. But I don't know what's more miserable, living a life like that or being a child of God that knows better, but living like the world. We can lose the joy of being saved. The Bible says in Psalm 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. See, it used to be people knew that we were saved and we were unashamed to be a child of God and be a churchgoer. And while they didn't fully understand and agree and appreciate everything we did with our life and with our family, they at least knew, I'm going to tell you what, they're happy. And I'm going to tell you what, they're a good worker. And I'm going to tell you what, they love their spouse and they love their children. They love their church. They love their preacher. But listen, folks, we can lose the joy of our salvation. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Hey, you remember the day you got saved? And he set my feet upon a rock. I think we sang about that a moment ago. And established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Wait a minute. Many shall see it. What are they seeing us sing now? Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know what that's saying there? Psalm 126, Psalm 40. It's like you young people. You go to youth camp and then on the way back home until you pass out because you're tired. On the way back home, you're singing all these songs and man, you got the joy of the Lord in your life. You dealt with the sin. You dealt with the backsliding. You got the joy of your salvation back. You know the story about David, and we'll be there tonight. But David said after he had sinned, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know why people don't enjoy coming to church? It's because they've lost the joy of their salvation. You know why you don't enjoy serving in an area of ministry anymore? It's because you've lost the joy of your salvation, the joy of being saved. So, number one, we can lose the joy of being saved. But I want you to know, number two, we can lose closeness to Christ that we once enjoyed. We can lose the closeness to Christ that we once enjoyed. Man, when I got up this morning, my wife got up probably 30, 45 minutes before me. So I was laying there. I get up at the same time every Sunday morning. And Brother Grice normally texts me about the time I wake up. And so my wife got up before me, and she's been out of town for 3 days. And so I thought, man, I just laid there thinking, you know, it's such a blessing. She brought me some coffee. And I waited there a little longer, and a little longer, and a little longer. So finally, I got up and I went, started getting ready. And I have our bathroom has a speaker, a Bluetooth speaker thing. So I thought, and she did bring me the coffee, by the way. She finally brought me the coffee, but she did that. And a bacon biscuit, man, it was good. But I woke up, and this is what was on my mind. It was that song from last Sunday. Some of you sang it. It just skipped my mind. The cathedral song. What is it? Then Came the Morning. Yeah. And I thought, you know, I think Glenn Payne could do a better job than Daniel could. So I put it on Spotify. Man, I wanted to hear that song. But I'm saying I woke up this morning, and the Lord was on my mind and on my heart. I want to be close to the Lord. We can lose that closeness. Charles Spurgeon said, I thank the Lord for every storm that has wrecked me upon the rock, Jesus Christ. But if we're not careful, we'll lose that closeness. The Bible says this about the kings and about Israel in 2 Chronicles 15. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the man of God, the preacher, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, the king, and said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. You may be in church today, but let me ask you this. Have you for a long season now been without the Lord, been without a preacher, been without a Bible? When's the last time you've been in your Bible and spent time with the Lord and woke up with the things of God on your mind? See, here's the thing. Our sin will affect our closeness to a holy God. We must stay clean in order to stay close. The Bible tells us in James 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. But there's some steps first. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Your joy to heaviness. What he's saying there is, let this whole, the fools make a mock at sin. Let this game you're playing be turned to mourning and say, what am I doing? I'm not close to the Lord like I used to be. So we can lose the joy of being saved. We can lose closeness to Christ that we once enjoyed. And let me say thirdly, we can lose the blessings of God on our life and on our family. My wife, a couple months ago now, well, time's flying. This has been with us back in February, I guess, middle of February. She had this idea, and she said, I want to share it with you, something we could do, and maybe put some money back for retirement. And she said retirement, and the radar went on. Beep, 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 beep. And we began to plan and pray, and I couldn't tell you over the last couple months how God has just answered one prayer after another, after another, after another, after another. I'm glad I have a praying wife. Glad I have a spiritual wife, but that God has answered one prayer after another. I know the blessings of God are on my life. I know the blessings of God are on my home. I know the blessings of God are on our church. I don't want to lose those blessings. God gave this warning to Israel in Deuteronomy, if you'll just listen. He said, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house," talking about spiritual matters, "and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between their eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." I mean, people ought to know that we're a people of God. "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou planted not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full." In other words, we don't even realize what the blessings of God have been upon our life. You don't know what you got till it's gone. And he says to Israel, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Friend, listen, I do not want God to be against me. I do not want that chastening hand of God upon my life or upon my family. In order to bless a child of God living in sin and unfaithfulness, God would have to ignore his own word. He said this in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, and superfluity of naughtiness, that's overabundance, and I guess you can be a little naughty, I don't know, but and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That's not even talking to that's not talking to lost people. We say, wherefore, my beloved brethren, the word of God will save us from a lot of trouble. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In other words, don't sit in church and listen, young people, and go out and live completely opposite. Or adults, go out and live completely opposite. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. We look in that mirror and nothing changes. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgets what manner of man he was. All right, we're talking about the blessings of God. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he abide in me, my word abide in you. He being not a forgetful hearer, if I can't remember what I preached last week, you're not going to remember what I preached last week. Make the decision now while God's working on your heart. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. I'm going to do things God's way. And God says this, this man shall be blessed in his deed. All right, so we cannot lose our salvation. That is not biblical. But we can lose the joy of our salvation. But we can lose the closeness to Christ that we once enjoyed. By the way, we can also get all of this back when we lose it. And then we can lose the blessings of God on ourselves and on our family. And as a dad, one of the things that concerns me with my family is I believe part of the blessings of God are the hedges that he places around our family. Now, could you imagine going out here to Tyler Zoo or Dallas Zoo or Fort Worth Zoo and you have these little toddlers, little big kids, and you take your little boy or your little girl or even our you know young adult children of ours and we're out there and we go to the lions place there and they've got the cage and they've got the glass and the plexiglass or whatever all that stuff is and you're standing there and you're like, man, this is great, look at those lions, and all of a sudden every fence and every plexiglass and glass and every wall, every hedge just whoop, and now you're standing there face to face with those lions. I believe that's what it's like as a child of God to walk away from the things of God, to lose the blessings of God, to lose the protection of God on our life. There's only so much I can do to protect my children. If they're going to disobey me, they may get themselves into some kind of trouble I can't get them out of. And the Bible says that the lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want the joy of my salvation. I want to be close to the Lord. I want the blessings of God and the protection of God on my life. But if I'm not careful, even as pastor, I can lose those things. And lastly, the Bible teaches that we can lose rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. This is why we need to die faithful. You may not be able to do what you used to do, but do what you can do until the day you die. I told somebody the other day, I said, man, I want to, one of these days, if God allows Brother Trent to become pastor, I said, he may bail on us before I'm done. He may go pastor somewhere. Who knows? But if God leaves him here, if he becomes the next pastor, or whoever becomes the next pastor, I say, you know what? I want to be, I just want to be the janitor. I just want to be the man. You call me up. I'll fix the toilet. Call me up. I'll fix a light or, you know, do it. I don't mind doing those things. I think it's impossible to go on forever pastoring. And I think in this day and age, it's just crazy what we're dealing with. But I don't want to quit on God and sit on a bench and say, well, I'm done. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to be in the center of God's will until the Lord calls me home. Because we can lose rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Pictures cannot do justice to 40 years of a church. And there are so many things that you and I have forgotten that God's allowed us to do in our time here, and some of you in other churches. But as one of the preachers at the revival reminded us, God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God knows, and the rewards are waiting on the judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. But 2 John tells us in verse number 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that means worked to earn, but that we receive a full reward. I can't give you a list. This is how you lose it. All I know to do is be in the center of God's will until the day they put you in the ground. Do what you know God wants you to do. When you get wrong with the Lord, get right with Him just like you do with your parents. Confess it as sin. But if we're not careful, we can lose some things. Now, rather than losing the joy of my salvation, rather than losing the closeness to Christ that I enjoy, rather than losing the blessings of God and His protection on myself and on my family, rather than losing rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, here's what I believe I'll do. I believe I'll just lose the sin in my life. Confess it, forsake it, get it right today. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I hope today everyone in this room can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. If you don't, I pray that today you'll walk the aisle and be saved and be born again. But Christians, thank God we can't lose our salvation. And I've got friends that believe that, not independent Baptists, but I've got friends, some family that believe that. And I hate that, because what a scary way to live. You know, there are some days I don't feel saved. I don't. I'm just in the flesh all day, don't feel well, mad or upset or down or discouraged or whatever. You know, there are a lot of days I don't deserve to be saved. It was like, boy, if God could just zap me and send me to hell, that'd be right now. But I believe the Bible. And I'm glad that even on my worst days, as the songwriter wrote, even on our very worst days, we're still sinners saved by grace. And if you're here today and you're living in a way that's contrary to the Word of God, don't get mad at the Bible. Don't get mad at the preacher. I would thank God for the Word of God. I would thank God for a preacher who doesn't want to be your buddy more than he wants to be your shepherd and help you and guide you to a place of joy in your life, closeness to Christ, the blessings of God, and full reward one day when we stand at the judgment seat.